today on Real Radio.
Divorce is only after you have proven and exhausted all opportunities to reconcile.
Right.
It's not a commandment. Right. Oh, I've got to get divorced.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You exhaust every bit of reconciliation first.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David Jay, we talk about the difficult subject of divorce. Now, some couples have witnessed the painful consequences of divorce and they've chosen not to get married. But the Bible says marriage is a divine institution, so it's important, especially for the believer, to exhaust all resources to make it work. Real life in a marriage means dying to yourself by choosing faithfulness and holiness so that Christ can be exalted. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Today, we're going to talk about a difficult subject. That subject is divorce.
Yeah.
Right before we started, you said, I don't like divorce. It's icky.
Yeah.
It is. It is. So let me give you some statistics here real quick. People marrying has fallen by 25 to 50% in one generation. Can you comment on that for us, Pastor Jack?
Yeah, people are choosing not to get married, but in all honesty, what that survey didn't say, it didn't say that people are choosing not to get involved in relationships.
Yeah.
I guess what I am trying to say is they're divorcing themselves from the concept of marriage, but they're still going to go through the pain, suffering, and sorrow because man has been programmed by God to have a relationship. It's almost like a smokescreen. Well, we're not going to get married because we don't want to go through the devastation of it. But people still get involved in relationships. So what we need to do in this program is not only, of course, address divorce, but the fact that if somebody chooses not to get married to avoid divorce, well, what about the spiritual and emotional aspect of it all? In other words, God has engineered a relationship.
Right.
We need to seek Him God's way.
And it seems like in our society today, people are choosing, hey, let's just live together.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that, Lisa.
It's just very common now. I hear even within the church, there's young couples that are living together and they're kind of unaware of the issues and they're having children and kind of playing house and they're still going through, if they break up, it's still going to be a divorce. So I think they're going to evade or whatever, not have to go through a divorce. And it's still, what he's saying about the relationship is still there. It's very evident. It's very strong and powerful. Just as though it was married, they were married, but it's not obviously biblical.
You're still becoming one flesh.
Yeah.
If you play house or not, if you have a document recording your marriage or not, the issue is they're going through all of the benefits and challenges and delights of marriage, but they're saying that they're not married.
Right.
I understand where they're coming from a world approach to marriage, but God says when they come together, specifically physically, they seal the deal, as it were. They become one flesh. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, they're going to go through a divorce with or without an attorney.
Yeah.
They're not avoiding anything.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to go to Mars or the moon alone to avoid hurt. The issue is God's got a better way.
He does. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when you look at Hollywood, when you look at, well, Hollywood to mid-America, it seems like the drive-through divorce, the quick get in, get out, no big deal divorce, is available today.
Right.
What do you say to somebody who's looking at it with that sort of light?
Oh, it's like junk food. Oh, you know, I'm going to eat this, and oh, it tastes so good. This is great. I can get it quick and fast. This is super. And it will eventually kill you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how it is with things like that. It's the way the world will spin things. Look, California gave birth to no-fault divorce.
Right.
What a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
No-fault divorce? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
No, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But again, God's got a better way to do it.
That's the thing is, you know, the name of our show obviously is, you know, Real Life, and we want reality. If you're just moving in with somebody to play house, play is not reality.
It's not real.
No,
ain't the real thing.
It's dangerous, actually, because you don't play with somebody's emotions. And especially then when you bring kids in who are innocent, they don't know any different. Yeah. They just know this is mom and dad, but they're playing house or whatever they're doing.
They'll suffer the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
The kids.
What are, in you guys, as counselors for folks that are going through a tough time, what do you see are the major causes of divorce in the church today and even out of the church? And is there a difference between the two?
Something to be really honest about in light of what you just said, this is a real life program. Mm. This is the behind the scenes truth right here. Mm. Men do not often talk to other men or pastors about marital relationships or failures or challenges. Men just don't talk about it. Lisa and women's ministry, women's counselors, they are inundated with the problem because the woman, the wife, wants to talk about it.
Right.
So first of all, who's seeking help is greatly skewed. Women want to help their marriage. I don't hear from the man until she has left or it's all over. Then the man comes and says, I don't know how this happened. I don't know why it happened. I have to bite my lip to keep from laughing at such a horrible situation in the moment, because he does know exactly how it happened.
Exactly.
He's just not willing to face up to the fact that he was not a spiritual leader at home. He was not a godly man at home. But the issue is that we fail at marriage because we don't follow God's manual, God's design for marriage. It's all in the Bible. And look, we have more books on marriage today than ever before in human history, and yet marriages are failing wholesale across the spectrum. Why? People are failing to apply God's word to their marriage.
Now, Lisa, you spend a lot of time, obviously, with women.
Yeah.
What's the big reason that women come to you and saying, I'm getting a divorce?
Well, adultery's big.
Okay.
Pornography. Abuse. Generally, I don't get the woman coming saying, I'm getting a divorce. Usually, she's coming preemptively.
Okay.
She's so unhappy. She wants help. So usually, I get those kind of women. And what he just described from the man is usually, it's already gone that far. And the women generally are the ones, you know, he mentioned the books. Women are the ones reading those books. It's very rare that a man would pick up a book on marriage and want to make himself a better, you know, husband or whatever. But women are usually the ones seeking that out. You know, honestly, and you asked about the Christian world versus secular. I think there's common problems on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. But the Christian is held to a different standard.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the Word of God says. And if we're walking in our flesh, then we're just going to live like the non-Christian.
Yeah.
So the same issues are there. But when we are being a real Christian in our home, things should be different, you know? And the two will love each other accordingly with kindness, with gentleness, with forgiveness, because we're all going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up.
Yeah.
But there needs to, you know, that healing process will take place and it'll be okay.
And here's the cool thing about what she just said. And we need to get this down, because there may be somebody listening, watching right now, and they're just already frustrated with what was said because this is how they heard it. Oh, man, if I do all these things, then God will bless my marriage. Let's remember what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
It's not the other way around. In other words, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then you'll get to walk in the Spirit. No, there's a reason why the Bible repeats this over and over again. Today, no matter who you are or where you're at, walk in the Spirit. Walk with the Lord. Walk with the Word of God. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because look, like she said, all of us, we all wake up every day with the flesh in its rage. It wants to stay in bed all day.
Right.
Or it wants to eat, you know, potato chips.
Yeah.
The flesh wants to, and remember, we talk about the lust of the flesh. People automatically think, you know, sex. No, no, no. It's desires, period.
Right.
Desires. It could be laziness is the desire of your flesh, the lust of the flesh. The point is, if you walk in the Spirit, He gives you the power to address your marriage or to address your family. It's not us rolling up our sleeves and doing it. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a divine institution engineered by God, and it runs on God fuel. God's fuel is the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. We need to actually surrender and let Him lead us into our marriages.
You know, you just reminded me of something. I started riding my bike lately, and I used to ride a lot. And when I get off the bike, I feel so good. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and I look around at nobody's to talk to, but I say, why don't I do this every day?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And it's the same thing I find when I'm walking in the Spirit.
Oh, that's right.
When I'm walking with God, I look around and go, this feels really good. This is good stuff. Yeah. You guys find
that's
the same
thing? Absolutely. Every day. Every day. You think about it. You get up in the morning. You have all of the excuses why you should not sit down and read your Bible.
Right.
There are a million of them.
Yeah.
But you choose to do the right thing. My feelings do not want to get into the Bible. My feelings, I want to walk around the yard. I want to see things. I want to see the sun come up. But the Spirit is prompting me, the Holy Spirit, get into the Word. You put me first, watch how your day goes. And you're exactly right. 20 minutes of riding that bike, and it's like, how could I survive without it? The flesh screams, but once you choose to do the right thing, the flesh actually begins to shut up and get in obedience. But you got to do that every day.
Yeah,
because it's like anything else. It's like riding the bike. Once you get in the habit, the practice of doing that, you feel good. And honestly, you start to feel like you've done something wrong when you don't do it.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm, that you are practicing that, those biblical principles of how God will bless you as you seek Him, then it just kicks into gear and it does feel right.
Yeah, it feels right.
Because God, the Spirit is blessed when we are fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. I mean, we grieve the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. So we do feel that kind of heaviness.
And relating that back to marriage and divorce, I mean, when you go through a wonderful time, you know, when I go through a wonderful time with my wife, when we go on a great vacation, I'll go to bed at night and go, check, got good one there. That's good. And I feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But let me throw this back we're talking mostly about divorce and how it affects people that are living together, married, non-married. What about separation? Is that ever an option as far as when somebody comes to you and says, we got to figure out how to work this out? Separation, what does the Bible say about that?
Well, first of all, the actual concept is not biblical.
Okay.
But having said that, let's kind of make it super real right now.
All right.
If somebody comes to me and says, you know, my husband and I are not getting along and I'm thinking about getting, you know, legal separation, I counsel them out of that, because you can't find that in the Scripture. You make it work. You know, you guys surround yourself with godly people, get accountable to a counselor or a pastor, and make it work. You need to be walked through something, because listen, when you separate yourself from what you should be working on, it opens up a brand new, I believe, devilish door because we've watched this for really more than 25 years, because we've been Christians longer than that, longer than the ministry, but this has always happened. People who separate, they inevitably wind up getting in touch with somebody, a friend who talks them into meeting some friend, or it never turns out good. However, let me add this. There is a time for what I would say would be separation for this reason. And I don't like to use the term, but
temporary
for this reason.
Okay.
For this reason. My husband's beating me. Look, I had a husband come to me and say, my wife is beating me. I mean, she'd wait for him to fall asleep. She'd beat him with a 2x4.
Wow.
Literally. I had to tell him, just like I would tell a woman who's being beaten, get out of the house now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Get out of the house now. Get to your family, get to a friend, and get counseling. Get godly people involved in this. Because something's wrong, very, very wrong. Immediately people think, oh my goodness, this happened in my home. I've got to call a divorce attorney. Calm down, Christian. Divorce is only after you have proven and exhausted all opportunities to reconcile.
Right.
It's not a commandment.
Right.
Oh, I've got to get divorced.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You exhaust every bit of reconciliation first. But there are times when the children are being abused, or the wife or the husband's being abused. You got to get out of that house.
Yeah.
But get out of the house with the motive of getting it fixed, not abandoning the marriage.
So somebody comes to you in the midst of separation, whether it's legal or not, or they're just not living together, or they are living together, they're on their way to divorce, they know they're on the way to divorce. How do you get them to stop? You guys, in your experience, how do you get them to stop that?
Well, it depends on the issue,
okay.
Honestly, because if it is abuse, and let's say the husband is beating the wife and he will not and refuses, doesn't see he has a problem, doesn't think he has a anger issue or whatever it is, he's going to continue in that pattern. Same thing with pornography. I've talked to some women where it wasn't a one-time thing with their husband. It was Mm-hmm. It's who he is. It's just what he does. He seeks out women. He's kind of like a predator. I know a few women, and it's very sad. So still, though, the couple women that I'm even referring to have not even settled. You know, they've been tempted to go down the divorce path, yet they're trying to wait on the Lord. I mean, it's very sweet. So it's a difficult thing that you just kind of listen to the issue and have to kind of walk through it with them and not just say, well, this is, just
standard answer.
Do this.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Because Jesus said, it's the hardness of your heart. Mm-hmm. Moses said, you know, I'll write her a certificate of divorce for practically anything. But Jesus said, in the issues of adultery, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. But really, honestly, it's because of the hardness of your heart. Mm-hmm. Two will not be willing to forgive and set right. So it will end in divorce, and that's allowed. So anything else from that? You know, I know a young couple haven't been married very long, and they've been separated like a year and a half.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it's
very,
very
sad.
Sad.
And there's no biblical grounds for it.
Yeah.
So
it's tough. Getting married is a tough thing, or especially early on.
Well, and you have these ideas that this is how it's going to be when we get married.
Yeah.
Everybody has them.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks or 3 months into your marriage, you're thinking, wow, is this of God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do we do? That's normal.
Yeah.
That's normal.
And people, especially guys, won't admit that's normal.
It's normal.
We won't read the books.
Listen, I mean, I know this sounds corny, but it is absolutely true. God didn't create marriage to make you happy. He created marriage to make you holy. In marriage, I've got to learn, look, we've been married 35 years. So 35 years to this day, what's the deal with marriage? Here's the deal with marriage. I'm learning more about God and His relationship with me and me to Him through our marriage, because every day I've got to choose, and I don't always do it right, I've got to choose to die to my flesh in marriage. It's so easy not to be married. I mean, listen, some people are called by God not to get married because they're so involved in serving the Lord. Paul makes that clear. That's some people. Mm. Most people are called by God to get married.
Right.
Marriage is how you experience Christianity truly, powerfully. Because, listen, I can show up at church and do Christian service and then go home to my lonely house and be safe because I only live with me.
Right.
But, listen, we've got to deal with, did you call the doctor? Well, who fed the dog? I thought you paid that bill.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my car keys? Mm-hmm. What's your underwear hanging on the lampshade for? This is all Christianity. This is real life. And people need to understand, oh, my gosh, I married the devil. No, you didn't. Yeah. This is part of you dying to yourself, that other mate, your husband or wife's dying to themselves. Jesus is being exalted. And I love how the Bible says a man will never be able to run the church unless he's able to take care of his house.
True.
Man, is that true?
It's true. So I was thinking about remarriage, okay? Let's talk about it specifically within the church, within Christianity. Because remarriage out in the world, it's just going to happen. It's just going to, whatever's going to happen. Is there a way that a Christian can biblically and godly be remarried after divorce?
Oh, absolutely. Somebody would want to read 1 Corinthians 6 for context, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 mm-hmm. together, okay?
Okay.
There, the Bible is so crystal clear, and it lays out the parameters that God requires regarding not only divorce and what qualifies for divorce. Remember, God says He hates divorce.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew word, when God said, I hate divorce, the Hebrew word for divorce, I wish I had a pair of pliers here right now, because that's actually the word. Imagine taking a pair of pliers and I thrust it into Lisa's side, or even my side for that matter, wide open, right? The pliers are open. I push it in just enough so that the meat of my tummy or her tummy makes it in between the teeth of that pliers, and I grab it. This is the meaning of the word. I grab it, and with both hands, I pull a incredible chunk of flesh out of her back or out of her stomach. That's exactly the meaning of the word divorce. That's why God says when two come together, they shall not be separated. Mm-hmm. It means for them to be separated. Flesh is torn, okay? So having said that, God is very, very specific regarding His institution of marriage, and He gives you the requirements in 1 Corinthians 7. Sadly, today, people will violate the word of God. They'll sacrifice God's truth, which is their ultimate happiness, for their momentary emotional gratification. And then when it all comes apart, and it does come apart, they will then say, gosh, I made a mistake. And and look, we all make mistakes, but we will also reap from our bad decisions. God has given us His Word so we don't make bad decisions.
Can you encourage us as we're kind of wrapping things up? Can you encourage us, can you encourage that specific person that seems like he or she is on the verge of divorce? Let's talk to the Christian. On the verge of divorce, give me some encouragement. I don't want to do this. I don't think God wants me to do this, but it's happening.
I'll do it very quick because I want to make sure people hear what Lisa says.
Okay.
Stop. Stop where you're at right now. Pray. Get on your knees. Find a godly or two godly people, same gender, mind you, to be praying with you. And put God's Word first. Cry out to God. If you've never fasted, now's the time to fast. If you've never gotten into a deep Bible study regarding what God's will is on marriage, now's the time to do it. Seek God, watch what He does. That's my immediate first counsel. Don't run to the courthouse to rip your flesh out of your life like that.
All right. Yeah, I mean, what he just said there about the running to, if you're a woman, don't, please, don't go and find your friend who's a male, maybe your coworker, whatever, your friend, and start pouring out your marriage problems to him.
And don't think that you're strong enough to handle that,
no,
because you're
not
just not.
Or vice versa, the man going to a woman, of course, things may very well happen. So just don't even go there because it's incredibly dangerous. But I, too, would have said the same thing, that seek godly counsel. This is the time. If you're truly on that precipice and you feel like you're going to fall off, if somebody doesn't help you, then you know what? By all means, raise the white flag and go get help. Too many people don't raise the white flag because of their embarrassment or whatever, and they think the divorce will solve the problem. And exactly what he graphically described about the flesh being torn. It is the most painful thing when two people go through a divorce. Incredibly painful. Can there be healing once you're through it? Yeah. But don't think that that's going to be a quick and easy, I'm going to feel better once I'm divorced because there's so much pain and suffering here. It's not some quick, easy thing. When you have surgery, there is a huge healing process. And even more so, people who are divorcing, the recovery is huge. And too many people go, if not, they don't even wait till the divorce is final. They, boom, get into another relationship. So they're playing with fire.
Big
and
mistake.
It's a lot of pain.
Wrap this up for us, would you, Pastor Jack?
Well, no matter what's going on in your life, I mean, the pain that relationships bring, you know, isn't it amazing that through a relationship you can have the greatest joys and the greatest sorrows? It's because we're spiritual creatures. God made us body, soul, and spirit. His Bible is Word. It is food. It is sustenance for us. It's our guide. So if you're going through something, and I know many are today, seek God first. He's promised to reveal Himself to you. Know that the love of God that He'll impart to your heart will cover a multitude of sin. And listen, don't think that leaving your marriage is a way out and it's somehow fix-all, because you'll just take whatever pain and sorrow and setback that you've had in this marriage, you'll just take it into your next marriage. You need Jesus to be very prominent more than ever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Dealing with Divorce. Thank you for listening to today's segment, reminding you that love is not a feeling but a decision. And our hope is that God's sacrificial love for us causes you to reconsider God's definition of marriage and to stay together. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio. And have you ever thought about being in paradise, learning about the God of paradise? And at the Grand Wailea Hotel and Resort in Maui, Hawaii, the wonderful people at livingwatervacations.com is hosting a week-long inspirational gathering, listen, literally in paradise, June 6th to the 12th, 2017, all Christ-centered, as we're going to have a tremendous time with special guest worship and speakers such as Kirk Cameron and Jeremy Camp leading in worship. So I look forward to seeing you. I sure hope you can join us. God bless you, and it's going to be amazing.
Go to livingwatervacations.com for more information. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.